Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the top of Daf Nun Beis at the Mishnah. The Mishnah will feature the age of adulthood vis-a-vis bari signs with regard to a girl and a boy and the relevant halachas. Tinoikes shevio shtei sairos, a girl who produces two hairs, often we refer to them as two pubic hairs, oi choiletis, oi misyabemis. At that point, she is able to function in the realm of a yavoma, which means that in the event that her husband died, leaving no children, but a surviving brother, so in the event that he doesn't want to marry her through what's called Yibum, so then she will remove a shoe, which is a process which is called Chalitza, which thereby releases her from the Yibum bond and enables her to marry whomever she wants. Oy misyabemes, or they can opt to marry. This is true when she reaches adulthood with the emergence of these two hairs. V'chayeves b'chol mitzvos ha'mus b'torah, and she is likewise bound to all the mitzvos of the Torah. V'chein tinok shehevi shtei Cyrus, similarly a boy, a male, that produces the two hairs, chayev b'chol mitzvos ha'mus b'torah, he is bound to fulfill all the mitzvos of the Torah. V'roi lios ben sorer umore mishiyovi shtei Cyrus ad shiakif zokon. And he also becomes eligible, or we'll say the possibility rises for his becoming a ben sorer, which is often translated as the rebellious son, a parsha in the Torah which discusses a child who steals from his father and buys meat and drinks wine, and that's called the ben sorer more. When does he become, and we should point out that it's punishable by the death penalty, at what point does this possibility arise? At the point that he produces the two hairs, until achi yakif zokon, literally it means until his beard is surrounded with hair. However, the term zokon here is actually a euphemism, and the Mishnah points out hatachtoin velo ha'olyon, the zokon of the lower part of one's body, and not the actual facial beard. Elo shedibru chachomim b'loshen nekia, by using the term shiyakif hazokon, the sages chose a euphemistic or clean language, but it's referring to the lower body hairs, the pubic area. Tinoikes shevio shtei saris, a girl who produces two hairs, eino yecholo lema'in, she can no longer release herself from a rabbinic type marriage through her mere rejection of continuity. Ordinarily, a girl, if she is an orphan, namely her father died and she's under 12 years old, her mother or brother have the ability to marry her off, and that's understood to be a rabbinic level marriage. She can opt out of it through saying, I don't want to continue with him, provided she does it before adulthood. So the first opinion in the mission is that she loses the rights to do mi'un at the point she produces shtei Cyrus, two hairs. Rabbi Huda Omer, he extends the mi'un period and says, ad sheyarbe hashochor. Yarba hashochor literally means until the black increases, but it means until there's a confluence of hairs or increase amount of hairs than just two hairs just simply emerging. But therefore we see that Rabbi Huda extends the miyun period until Yarbe HaShachar. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. In the margin, the Nosei, a topic heading, along with a Mivneh, a structural note. We have used diamonds in the Gemara text, so they represent She'elos, Birur, Yitor, Lashon, VaMishnah. The Mishnah seems to have redundancies in it, so the Gemara will point out why the seeming extra language in the Mishnah when it things could it possibly be understood in a more abbreviated fashion. So the Gemara, V'keivan desnan chayeves b'chol mitzvus amus b'torah. Once you tell me that a tinoikis, when she produces two hairs, she is obligated to all the mitzvahs, the commandments of the Torah, so oicholetzis o misyabemes lomali. Why is it necessary to teach that she is enters the realm of, let's say, functioning as a yevama, either to participate in the chalitza ceremony or enter the marriage? Aren't the rules of chalitza and yevam part of kol mitzvos hamuras b'torah? So the Gemara answers, La Fuke Midrav Yosi. The Mishnah is here to take a stand contrary to that of Rabbi Yosi de Omar. Rabbi Yosi's opinion is Ish Kosuv Baparsha. Ish is a term referring to a man, but it signifies adulthood, and that is the term that you find in the Torah section dealing with Chalitza. Rashi quotes the Pasuk, he says, V'im lo yachpoitz ho Ish. That's the posuk that's relevant to this piece of Gemara. Avol Isha, but according to Rav Yossi, when it comes to the female, the widow, Bein Gedola uBein Ketana, he is of the opinion that a Gedola or even a minor, a Ketana, can participate or function in the Yibum Parsha. And therefore, according to Rav Yossi, in order for her to do a Yibum or Chalitza, she would not have to be a Gedola. Komash Malon, our Mishnah, comes to tell us, the E.I.C. Shtei Cyrus in, if she produces the two hairs, then yes, then she can function in the Yibum Parsha. Eloi, loi, and if not, then she cannot function. My Taima, what's the basis of our Mishnah? Answer, Isha Ki'ish. The Mishnah is based on this idea that we compare the female to the male. So if there's a demand by the Torah that the surviving brother be an adult, so we will apply the same standard to the widow herself, that she has to be adult, meaning have produced two hairs and reaches the age of adulthood. Continuing in the Gemara, the Kavan, now this is a long question, so we've used a long question marking. The kuf that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with the descending vertical dashed line indicates the length of this question. The Kavan detana v'chein hatinok shevishtei saris. The Mishnah says, after having taught about a girl, when she produces two saris, so she's chayav in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, so the Mishnah, once it says likewise, v'chein hatinok shevishtei saris, likewise with regard to the male, wouldn't that convey the idea that he is treated the same way? And just like by the female, she's chayav in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, the same thing with the male. Therefore, chayav, the phrase chayav b'chol mitzvahs u'mus b'torah lomali, what do I need it to be spelled out for? In general, we the Mishnayos, as we find in the Torah, there's a certain attempt to strive for brevity and extra words that spell out something that I could have understood anyway, arouse our question. So by saying simply v'chein hatinok shevishtei saris, I would have understood what is spelled out. So why does it spell this out? V'chiteimo mishum dekaboi lemisni. You might say, well, because it was a lead up to that which it teaches, v'roi liois ben soromore, that as a result of the two hairs, he also becomes eligible for becoming a ben soromore. Well, do I really need our Mishnah for that point? Tanino chadazimla. There's another Mishnah that teaches us the halachas of ben soromore. And here it's quoted, you can see in the frame section, a quote from the Tanaic source found in Maseches Sanhedrin. Amosai hu ben soromore. From what point does a boy become eligible to that that category, Mishiyobi Shtei Cyrus Viad Shiyakiv Zokon Hatachton Vulayoin Eloshidibru Chachomim Beloshan Nikia. So you see that all of the information contained in our Mishnah is already dealt with in a different source. So the question remains, why does our Mishnah spell out everything that it does? So the Gemara says, in Hochinami, this is true that this information is taught elsewhere. Since the Mishnah opened up spelling out details of the tinoikis, of the girl, so kamor forishnami mili de tinok. It also felt the sense of, we'll call, obligation to spell out details regarding the male, even though it could have been understood in a more abbreviated fashion. But once the Mishnah spelled out detailed things with regard to the female, it did the same with regard to the male. Tinoikis shevia v'chulei. Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Belozer, Halocha Kerebi Yehuda. Well, in our Mishnah, we saw a machlokis, Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, with regard to the age up till which a girl can do miyun. So we see in the Gemara, Rabbi Avo, quoting Rabbi Elozer, paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, extending the time for the girl to be able to exit her rabbinic marriage until at Shiyarbe Hashochor. We continue in the Gemara. Umoide Rabbi Yehuda Shiim Nivalo LaAcher Shevio Shtei Saris. Rabbi Yehuda will concede that she can no longer do the miyun, that if after she merely produced the two hairs, which is an earlier age than what Rabbi Yehuda himself mentioned, but if after she produced the two hairs, she was nivala, she engaged in intimacy with her husband, shuv eino yecholamayin, she can no longer take advantage of this, of exiting the marriage through miyun. In other words, after, if this took place, that after she merely produced the initial two hairs and she continued in intimacy with her husband at that point, so she is considered fully married and would need a formal divorce document in order to get out of that marriage. Rashi says, Shuv eino yechol lamayim dahach bio havu lehu kedushin gemurin. That intimacy, since it's taking place after the Shnei Cyrus, would be considered a full-fledged marriage. The gedoylohi, she is now an adult, ubiyodo lekadesh atzmon, it's in her power to marry herself off. V'chi polig, when is there the controversy? Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, kishaloi bo'al la'achar shigodla polig, where she didn't engage in intimacy after the two hairs emerged. V'afilu hochi, the Rabbi Meir, lo mimayenes, but even so, according to Rabbi Meir, the first opinion, she can no longer do miyun. The kevan shehigdila shoachas v'lo miyana, since she achieved adulthood even for a short while, and there's immediate, the point she immediately achieves adulthood, and she did not do miyun. So shuv eino yechola limchois, she can no longer protest. Let's read that again for a slightly increased accuracy in the reading. The kevan shigdila shoachas v'lo michaso, since she achieved adulthood and had not protested, in other words, protested her rabbinic marriage, shuv eini yechol limchos v'cholu lehu kedushin kamoi, she can no longer protest, and the original kedushin now takes hold fully. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Continuing now in the Gemara. Chavroihi de Rav Kahana, the colleagues of Rav Kahana, Sovur, we've emphasized with a squiggle underline to draw your attention to this word in contrast with the next situation where Avud Uvda comes up. Actually, before we go further in the Gemara, let's just glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a Noseya topic heading. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda b'miyun. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding miyun is focused on here. Ad shiarba shochar, until, and she has the right, until there's an increase of hairs beyond the simple emergence of two. And the double underline that we've just now encountered is featured under our Mivneh heading, Nisyonos. These are attempts in the Gemara, Lifsoik Rabbi Yehuda, to rule like Rabbi Yehuda, Shematir Miyun Ad Shi'arba Shachar, who allows Miyun until that point in time. That our introduction is very general because we have to leave room for the Gemara to fill in details. So here you have a case. This is the first incident involving an attempt to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. What are the circumstances? So the Gemara says that the colleagues of Rav Kana wanted to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The sovra mevar uvda, mevar uvda's expression meaning to rule like, to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The afal gav de nivala, even though she already experienced bia after the emergence of the two hairs, so that they are going pretty far in their leniency in allowing her to practice miyun even after bia. Omar luhu Rav Kahana. Now Rav Kahana asks on them. Here we have a long question marking. He will be challenging their attempted ruling. So he says, Lo kahoya maisa, was not the following an incident, bebito she Rabbi Shmuel, involving the daughter of Rabbi Shmuel, shebosa lebeis hamedrash lemayin. She came to the beis medrash, to the study hall of Torah, lemayin, to express her interest in leaving a rabbinic marriage that she had been in. Uvenoa murkav lo al ksefa. And now, in order for her to be in a rabbinic marriage, so Rabbi Shmuel had already passed away at this point. She's referred to as the daughter of Rabbi Shmuel, bearing in mind that he's already deceased. So she came to the Beis Medrash Lemayin, Uvenoa murkav lo al ksefa. And she had her own child. She had a baby on her shoulder. She was a very young mother. The Oisayoim Husgaru Dvorav Rabbi Shmuel Bebeis HaMedrash. And on that day, Rabbi Shmuel's teaching, which the Gemara will feature shortly, was mentioned in the Beis Medrash. Uvochsa, there's another Girsa in the Gemara of Rabsa Bechia Gedola. There was a great outcry in the Beis HaMedrash. In the Beis Medrash, they cried. What was the crying about? Omru, and they proclaimed, Dover Shama Usa Tzadik, a matter concerning which that pious one, Rabbi Shmuel, had said, Yikoshil Boi Zaro, should his descendants stumble over? The Omar Rabbi Omar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. The following was said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Vihi Lo Nispasa. This is a quote from the Pasuk dealing with a married woman who was engaged in intimacy, and the Torah says, and she, if she was not grabbed, in other words, she wasn't raped, then asura. Then, if you have a married woman who was not raped, so she is also, she was a willing partner in intimacy with another man, she's forbidden to her husband. Honis basa muteris. However, if the woman was raped, then she is muteris to her husband, assuming that he's not a kohen. The Yesh Lucha Acheres, there's another case, Shafal Pisha Loy Nisposa, even if she was not raped, Muteris, she is Muter to any man, she is not bound, she's free to marry. The Eizozu, and what is that case? She Kidushe Tois, where her initial marriage was based on a false premise. Even though she may have borne a child from that false marriage, she is able to extricate herself from the marriage, but just by saying, I don't want to continue, after being that the whole marriage was based on a mistake, and even though she already has a child. The Nimnu the Gomru ad Mosai Habas Mimaenis, and there was a vote taken to establish until what point can a girl leave a marriage through miun, through an expression of disenchantment or disdain or lack of willingness, up to what point? Ad She Tovi Shte Cyrus, until she produces two hairs, so that at the point she produces to where she can no longer do miun. And this was all part of a teaching that it resulted from things that Rabbi Shmuel himself had said. So how is it that they want to allow her to do miyun even though she is beyond, she's already over the age of producing the two sirus? So when they heard Rav Kahana's opposition, Porush Velo Ovet Uvda, they deceased and did not, pursue their attempted ruling. We should look together at the Rashi that with Dibur HaMasril, Ve'afilu B'no Murka V'chulei, even though she has a child, we said, if it's a kiddushei tos, if it's a mistaken marriage, a marriage based on, let's say, false premises, false claims, she just walks out and does not need a get, even though she has a child. The lav nisuin havu, the inyan, it's not considered a marriage. The inyan znus nami lo mitzra olea, and with regard to znus, she's not forbidden to him. The Penuyo Ba'almahi, she's simply a non-married woman. The Lo Amrinon Be'ilois Sheboal Mishagodlo Havu Kiddushin, and we don't say that intimacies that she had after she reached adulthood constitute the Kiddushin. Why is that? The Kosovar Kol Haboil Aldas Kiddushin Rishonim Huboil, that intimacies that a person conducts are based on the original premises, the original marriage premises. And with the subsequent bios, there wasn't an intent to remarry her. We had just mentioned the situation of a woman leaving her marital status or her marriage if the it was discovered that it was a kiddushei tos, that the marriage was done under false circumstances. So we say that the marriage is of no value, and hence she can walk out of it even though she has a child. The connection to our sugi is we are paralleling the case of the ketana, the minor marriage that was done through her mother or brother, which is we call a rabbinic marriage. On a Torah level, it also has no, it doesn't take hold. And just like a kiddushei tos is of no significance, it's not binding, so too the kiddushei ketana is of no significance. And that's an example of some of a girl who may even have a child and simply walks out of that marriage. And then our Gemara concluded that the vote was taken that idea of mimaenis, of walking out of the marriage, is a privilege until she produces the two heirs, and therefore beyond that, though, this privilege doesn't exist. And that's why the colleagues of Rav Kahana finally backed down and did not allow the girl who had already produced the two heirs and was nivala to no longer be able to leave her marriage through miyun. Another case, Reb Yitzchok v'Talmidei d'Rav Chanina, Ovid Uvda, k'Reb Yehuda, v'Af al Gav d'Nivala. Reb Yitzchok and the students of Reb Chanina ruled like Reb Yehuda, but went very far, that they gave a girl an option to do miyun even after she produced the two heirs, and even after she had continued with intimacy with that husband. Also, Rav Shamon bar Abba, Omro Kameid Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Shamon reported this to Rabbi Yochanan. Also, Rabbi Yochanan, Omro Kameid Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, and Rabbi Yochanan informed Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya of this. Shodar Balsha, they sent a police force, the Afkuha, and they took her away from her new husband. In other words, we have a Maisa where the girl had practiced miyun even after she produced Shtei Cyrus and was Nivala and walked out of that marriage, married a second man, and they said that marriage was not allowed. She shouldn't have married a second man because she had lost her rights to walk out of the first marriage. Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Mar Ukva. lo shiyar b'hashochor mamish. When Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah mentioned that miyun takes place at shiyar b'hashochor, it doesn't mean literally there's a lot of black hairs. Ela kadesh yu shtei saris sheichvois v'nirois kemi shiyar b'hashochor alolovon. All he really means to say, it's an age at which the two hairs that she produced became elongated, so that it gives the impression as if there is a lot of black hair on the, in contrast to the white. Rava Omar, Shtei Cyrus, Hamakifois, Misofa, Lesofa. Rava says that the two hairs referred to are long enough that they reach from one edge to the other. Omar Rabbi Chelbo, Omar Rav Huna, Shtei Cyrus Shamru, when we speak about the two hairs, Sorach Shie Beikoron Gumos, each hair has to have a follicle, a pore from which it is growing. Rav Malchia, Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo. Actually, before we go on in the Gemara, we will take note of a topic heading that we have that we'll read in a moment. So our Gemara says here, Rav Malchio Omar Rav Adomar Ava Gumos Afalpi She'ein Cyrus. Rav Malchio says that if there are these pores, even if they don't actually have hairs growing out of them, that is considered a gedol. That's considered an adult. That would have the din of Shtei Cyrus. So before we go on any further, we have triangles. Rabbi Chanina Breid, Rav Iko, and Rav Popo, you notice. And on our note in the margin of the Gemara, the Nosei Mivneh, we are going to speak about a machloikis Rabbi Chanina of Rav Popo, legabi sheish halachas. The Gemara will make reference to six halachas that are found in different places in the Shas, and we will simply refer to them by their names without elaborating on them, because each halacha is featured in its own place. As one learns through all of Shas, so one will see each one in its respective location. But they're known as Shpud, Shvachos, Gumos, Bloris, Efer Makle, Ugvina. Six halachas, and there's a machlokis, Eze Nemru al Yedei Rav Malchiyoi, V'Ezo al Yedei Rav Malchiyo. We've provided here a little chart in the Gemara, which we can learn ahead of time to give a feeling of what the Gemara will be sharing with us. On the one hand, you have Rabbi Chanina, and under him is featured his presentation of Rav Malchiyo's halachas of three of the six, and Rav Malchiyo's halachas, which three of the six he presented. Rav Papa has his list. You'll notice on the way we designed our little chart here, there are dots that are bullets that we marked in facing a number of these halachas. Regarding the bulleted halachas, there is no controversy. There is agreement. The only point of difference will concern how to categorize or under whose name two of these six halachas are to be listed. So under Rav Chanina, he will tell you that Rav Malchio is the author of the halachas known as Shpud, Gumos, and Shvachos, and Rav Malchio, according to Rav Chanina, is responsible for the halachas of Bloiris, Gvina, and Efer Makle. Looking at Rav Papa's list, under his version of Rav Malchio, so Shpud and Gumos are found, just like by Rav Chanina's presentation. However, here he mentions the third halacha that Rav Malchiyo authored was Efer Makle. Efer Makle under Rabbi Chanina was something featured by Rav Malchiyo, and Rav Papa's Rav Malchiyo is authored. Rav Malchiyo authors according to Rav Papa Bloris and Gvino. You notice Rav Chanina also had his version of Rav Malchiyo agreeing with that, but under Rav Papa's Rav Malchiyo, Shvachos is found. According to Rav Chanina, Shvachos was found under Rav Malchiyo. So the point of difference between Rav Chanina and Rav Papa is with regard to who authored the halachas of Shvachos and Efer Makle. Our presentation is based on Rashi's explanation. With that, in mind, we now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Chanina Brei Duraviko, the first triangle, he lists off the halachas. Shpud, Shvachos, and Gumos are authored by Rav Malchio. Bloiris Efer Makla Ugvina, Rav Malchio. And if you look at our chart, you'll notice Bloris, Efer, Makle, and Gvina are there as well. Just a technical point, the way we drew our charts, we presented in a different order than the Gemara in order to line up the similarities between Rav Chanina and Rav Papa's presentation. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Papa Omar, Masnisin Umasnisa Rav Malchia. Those halachas of the six that are based on Tanaic sources, and we will see there are three of them that are based on Tanaic sources, those are authored by Rav Malchia. He is the one that explains the halachas that are found in the Tanaic sources. Shmaitza, the other halachas which are purely Amoraic, that are not based on Tanaic teachings, Rav Malchia. Those are authored by Rav Malchia. And the Simona, a memory device for appreciating Rav Papa, Masnisa Malkisa. The name Rav Malchia sounds like Malkisa, and Masnisa is a reference to Tanaic sources. So Tanaic sources, the halachas that are elaborated on, that are based or rooted in Tanaic sources, are those dealt with, according to Rav Papa, by Rav Malchia. My binayu, what is the difference between Rav Chanina and Rav Papa? Ika binayu shvachos. The difference between them concerns shvachos, and Rashi adds that shvachos is exchanged for efer makle, as we demonstrated on our chart. Omar Ravashi, Omar li Marzutra. Ravashi tells us that Marzutra told him, Koshe bo Rabbi Chanina Misura. If it's so that Gumos would constitute adulthood even without hairs, so Ravashi tells us that Marzutra said to him that Koshe bo Rabbi Chanina Misura, that Rabbi Chanina Misura had a difficulty concerning this point. If it's so that Gumos is the same as if Gumos that were mentioned were a sign of adulthood even without hairs, lo lishtamit tano v'ashmin in Gumos, there shouldn't be a silence, we'll say, on the part of Tanoim in mentioning such a halacha. In other words, you look through all the Mishnayos of Shas, we don't seem to find any Tana that mentions that adulthood is reached by a Tinoikes Sheviyoshtei Gumois. The Gemara responds, E Ashminen Gumos, if the Tana would have mentioned that, it would have led to a misunderstanding. So the point here is that really two Gumos would constitute adulthood. If you're asking, so why didn't the Mishnah say Tinoikis Shavia Shte Gumos is an adult? So the Gemara says, E Ashmin and Gumos, had the Mishnah said that, Have Amino, I would have thought Ad Shiu Shte Sairois Bishte Gumos, until you have two hairs in two separate follicles. Komash Malon, by not spelling that out, we understand the afilu shte sairos begumachas, that even if you have two hairs growing out of one follicle, that two would be godless. So let's go over this point again. If the Mishnayos had taught that there is a chance of adulthood through the emergence of two pores, one would have thought that the idea of shte sairos, of two hairs, is only if you have two hairs growing each one from a separate follicle. Therefore, we are here to tell you by the silence of the Tana, by not mentioning shtei gumos, we leave the possibility of adulthood being achieved even in a case where we have two hairs growing out of one pore. The Gemara asks, "Umi iko ki hai gavno?" On a practical basis, could you have two hairs growing from one follicle, v'hoksiv? Now we're about to start a question. We call this a long question, and we've noted it thusly with the kuf that you see to the right hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line, which continues down a number of lines on Amud Beis. Once again, could you have two hairs growing out of one follicle, v'hoksiv? There is a pasuk in the Sefer Iyov where the precision of the Almighty is featured. And it says, Asher b'sa'ora yishufeni v'hirbo p'tso'ai chinom. As you may know, Iyov experienced a great deal of trouble, of suffering. And there was this type of complaint, if you will, raised, that may be that my suffering came, says Iyov, as a result of a mistake. That type of argument against the Almighty is tantamount to blasphemy. The Omar Rava, Iyov b'sa'ora chireif, b'sa'ora hishivuhu. Chireif is an expression indicating blasphemy, where Iyov blasphemed through Sa'ara. We'll see shortly what that means, and he was answered through Sa'ara. B'Sa'ara Chireif, his initial blaspheming was through a Sa'ara. Sa'ara in this case is a reference to a storm or a strong wind. Omar Lefonov, Ribono Shel Olam, Iyov said to the Almighty, Shema Ruach Sar Avulafanecha, maybe a big storm blew in front of you, Vinishalfa Loch Bain Iyov L'Oyev, and it caused you, the Almighty, to become confused between me, Iyov, I'm a great guy, L'Oyev, making you think that I'm an enemy. Notice, of course, the similarity in the words. Hence, Iyov was blaspheming, was complaining that maybe you got confused, and it's easy to get confused between these two, Iyov and Oyev, and Oyev is an enemy, and my suffering is because you thought that I am an enemy. So the Almighty responds, Bisora Hishivuhu. And the word Sa'ara, even though here it's spelled with a Samach, it also could be understood with the letter Sin, which has the same basic pronunciation, called the S sound, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu answers him using a se'ora. But here, se'ora will take on the meaning of a hair. Vayan Hashem es, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, es Iyo, min ha-se'ora, vayomer elov, shoyte sheba oylam. The Almighty answers Iyo using the hair as an example. He says, shoyte sheba oylam, calls him fool. Harbe Mimin Borosi Boroshi Shalonam. I've created many hairs on the head of a man. Ulachol Nimo Venimo Borosi Loi Gumo Bifne Atzma. Each hair has its own follicle. Shlo Yu Shtayim Yonkois Migumachas. Notice we've dashed underline this, but this is the focus of our question. The Almighty has a set up creation in such that two hairs should not draw their sustenance from one follicle. If two hairs would grow from the same guma, machfish morein of shalodam, a person would lose his eyesight. Guma, the guma alone is halifli. I don't confuse two pores, two hair follicles. Iyov the oyev is halifli. Do you think I would confuse Iyov with oyev, with an enemy? For our purposes, the question is raised that two hairs do not emerge from one follicle. So how can you say that the chidush that on the bottom of Omen Aleph was that you could have godless, you can achieve adulthood by having two hairs growing from one follicle? That is something that doesn't take place. The Gemara answers, loy kashya, there's no contradiction. There's no question. Ha begufa, ha beresha. There's a difference between body hairs, gufa, and head hairs. When it comes to head hairs, that's where we say you can't have two from one follicle. But when it comes to body hairs, gufa, you could have two growing from one follicle, and the chiddush that Gemara said on Omen Aleph was that you would achieve adulthood even if you had a case of two hairs growing from one follicle. And that's the reason why silence was maintained on the halacha of having adulthood through the appearance of two follicles. Because if that had been stated explicitly, it could have led to a misunderstanding that adulthood is achieved only when you have two hairs, each one growing from a separate follicle, which at the end of the day, we say is not what is demanded. You could have even two hairs growing from one follicle. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Before going on in the Gemara, we glance in the margin where we have a topic heading, which reads, "I bo'inon shnei sayre zeitzel ze b'mokim echad." Is there a requirement when we speak about the two hairs that constitute adulthood, do they have to be growing next to each other in one part of the body, or one spot? So the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Shtei Sairis Shamru, the two hairs that we have spoken about, Afilu Achas Al Hakaf, V'Achas Al Habetzim. In the case of a male, one could be Al Hakaf, which is an indication of a point above the male organ, and one on the Beitzim, on the testicles, so that the two hairs are not in the same location. You might say same general location, but not the same part. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a Tanaic source that supports this idea. Shtei Cyrus Shamru, the two hairs that we've spoken about, Afilu Achas Begabo, V'Achas Bekresa. There's quite a discussion in the Rishonim commentaries about the details of this particular source. So in order to avoid committing ourselves to any particular explanation, we simply will say that one hair begabo and one bekreso is an indication of two different locations. Rashi takes a stand and says begabo means underneath, below the oisomokum, the actual organ of sexuality, and one bekreso, which would then be above. There's another phrase here, Achas al gabi kishrei etzba oisel shel yad, v'achas al gabi kishrei etzba oisel shel regel. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar Akko. As far as this line is concerned, some take it literally, and some take it euphemistically. But for our purposes, it's again an indication of the two hairs being in two different locations. So this last point was stated by Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar Akko shomar mishum Rabbi Shimon. This Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda was quoting Rabbi Shimon on that point. V'rabbanan, what is their point of view? Omar of Ashi Ashiu shnei Cyrus b'mokoyim echad. They are interested in the two hairs being in one location. Tanu Rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source featuring a number of opinions up till what point can a girl do miyun. We have featured this under our nosei, the topic heading in the margin, where we have written deos noisophos ad mosai abas mamenes, additional opinions regarding up till what point a girl can practice miyun. Once again, miyun is a situation where the girl was entered a rabbinic marriage. Her mother or brother married her off as a minor. Up till what point can she back out of that without the need for a get? Tanu Rabbanan, ad mosai habas mimaenes, up till what point can she do miyun? So, a first opinion, ad shetovi shtei sairos divrei Rabbi Meir, until she produces two hairs. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad shi yarbe hashochor. This too we have seen before. Yarba Shochor means, as we saw, some type of elongation of the hairs. Rabbi Yosi Oimer Ad Shetakif Ha'atora, until the Atora is surrounded. Here Rashi doesn't explain that phrase. Ben shlokis oimer ad shetichalkel. Rashi on this offers a couple of possibilities, and the one of the possibilities that he mentions on this phrase is, and we've dashed underlined this in the Rashi, ad shiu sham cyrus harbi, until there are a lot of hairs. So he would be giving you a fairly late age, relatively speaking, up till which time she could still practice miyun. The source continues. V'amar Rabbi Shimon Motsoni Chanina ben Chachinoi Betzido. Rabbi Shimon tells us that I found Chanina the ben Chachinoi in the town of Tzidon. V'amar, and he said, Kishaato magia itzel Rabbi Akiva, when you get to Rabbi Akiva, and more lo admosai habas memenis, ask him up till what point the girl can practice miyun. Im yomar loch, if he should tell you ad shetovi shtei cyrus, that she can do miyun only up till this early point, the simple emergence of two hairs, and more lo, so you say back to him, balo ben shlokos heid the maimed kuchem biavne, didn't ben shlokos testify in your presence in the city of Yavne ad shetichalkel, that miyun can take place until that point, valo amartem loydover, and you didn't protest, you didn't say anything against it. So there was some type of tacit agreement with this later age, so that in the event Rabbi Akiva will tell you that miyun takes place only up till shtei cyrus, well, mention to him that he was there when Ben Shloko said the later age, and everyone seemed to agree. Kishibosi etzel Rabbi Akiva, when I finally got to Rabbi Akiva, Omar li, Rabbi Akiva said, Kilkul ze eini yodea mahu, which literally, I don't know what it is, but it, Rashi explains, means I don't hold from that. Ben Shlokos eini makir, I don't recognize Ben Shlokos, seeming simple a disavowal of that opinion. Ad mosai bas menes, up to what point can she do miyun? Ad shetovi shtei saros, only up till the emergence of the two hairs, and not later. Shtei saros, the Mishnah says, shtei saros hamuros depora uvenegoyim, the laws of two hairs that are relevant to the pora. That's the pora aduma, the red cow that's slaughtered and burnt, and for its ash value, and for the purpose of being matar tomei mason. The rule is that if it has two hairs that are not red, two black hairs, so the pora is ruined, is not acceptable as a pora aduma. And also, there are two hairs with regard to negoyim. Rashi explains this. Seor lovon, the negoyim, involves the white hair growing forth from a nega, from a tzoras. So the kaimel and is kind of mute, cyrus shtayim, the minimum of hairs is two. So that when the Torah makes reference of hairs in the context of negoyim, there are two. The Mishnah continues, Wa'amuros b'chol makom, and hairs mentioned in all other places, specifically the case of the adulthood of a tinok and tinoikas. There are three opinions regarding the length of those hairs. So, number one, Kidei lochuf roshan li koron divrei b'shmuel. It has to be long enough that you could be able to bend the tip to its base or to its root. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kidei likroitz b'tziporan, enough to be able to grab it between your two fingernails. And this is the least of the amounts. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kidei shiu nitlois b'zug. They have to be long enough that you would be able to cut them with a scissors. Omar of Chizda, Omar Mar Ukva, Halacha Kedivrei Kulon Lahachmir. Each one of these opinions has halachic significance when looking at things from a strict, from a chumrah standpoint, which, practically speaking, when it reaches the earliest stage, which we call mishenikrotzais betziporen, at that point she loses her right. The girl would lose her right to do miyun. That is a stringency that at the earliest of these three shitas, at that point she loses the right to practice miyun. Now there's another chumrah regarding chalitza, regarding her rights to extricate herself or be released from a yibum bind, then we say she cannot leave the yibum bind until she produces a lot of hair, the greatest of these amounts. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we glance under our nosei, the topic heading in the margin. Im yesh bekesem, regarding blood stains, mishum chashash zov, if a woman notices blood stains on her garment, could that lead her to becoming a zova? Number one, kesem echad godol shiur sholosh grisim veod. We'll see reference to a large stain, the size of 3 grisim plus amashu. A blood stain that does not exceed a gris in size. A gris is a specific amount that literally a gris is a certain type of vegetation, a type of bean. In the general vicinity of the size of an American dime. What we say is we are not committing ourselves to anything of a practical halachic nature, as we've mentioned many times in Gemara markings, but it's a frame of reference. So a stain that does not exceed that size is not a source of tumah. Woman will not become tumah because we will explain it away by referring to the stain as of coming from a macholus, a type of bug, a bug that was squished. But if it's larger than that, so it's already more than an amount that would come from a bug. And therefore, we would say it came from the woman, and therefore a kesem of that size would metame the woman. We will mention in our Gemara a single kesem that has the size of 3 plus grisim. Another point will be a kesem echad al shalosh chalukos, 3 separate garments, each one having 1 kesem, 1 stain. And we will see a case of roya shalosh roya shnei yomim, a woman who experienced 2 days of blood flow during the yemei ziva, v'kesem al chaluk echad, and 1 kesem on a singular garment. So in all of these cases, we're going to be looking into the possibility of the woman becoming a zava. To review just an old point, a point that we've learned numerous times in our Masechta, the phenomenon of ziva is a situation where after a woman experienced her being a nida, and we're speaking on a Torah level, so the day that she becomes a nida, if she sees blood, she's tameah for 7 days, regardless of whether she sees blood on any of those days. But at the end of 7 days, she then immerses herself in a mikveh, and on day 8, so she enters a period of time called the ziva days. From day 8 till for 11 days. For the 11 coming days, counting from day 8 inclusive, if she sees blood for 3 consecutive days during that 11-day period, she would become what's known as a zava gedola, and she would be tamea for 7 days and has to observe 7 clean days, after which she would bring a sacrifice. But in the absence of 3 consecutive days, so she is classified as a Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom and not a Zova Gedola. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Horoya Kesem, a woman who notices a stain, a blood stain on her garment. Harezu Mikukeles, her cheshbon, her calculation regarding the days in which she is holding. Is she during Ziva days or during Nido days? Becomes upset. Mikukeles means upset. The Choshesh Mishum Zoiv, Divrei Rebbe Meir. And the possibility that she might be a Zova arises. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Chachamim say that with the appearance of a stain, you do not enter the possibility of her becoming a zava. Let's look at Rashi on the Mishnah. Harezu Mikukeles. We're going back to Rabbi Meir, the appearance of a kesem, so her calculation of time is upset. Eina Yudas Pesach Nidusa. She doesn't know when her Nida period would begin. Leida, in order to know, Masayas Chilu Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nida Lenida, in order to determine when she is in the 11-day period that would that exists between the Nidas. She doesn't know when this stain appeared. So, naturally, if she doesn't know when it appeared, she's like knocked off, caught off balance. Is this a stain that appeared that set off the Nida cycle, or is it a stain that appeared in the Yemei Ziva? V'chayshesh mishum zoiv. Im ovru aleha shloisha yemei ziva mishalovsha choluk ze. Let's say you have a woman that had entered the ziva days, a woman who knew she had entered the ziva days. 3 days went into that, and she's 3 days into that. Day 8, day 9, day 10 went by, and now umatsa olav kesem godol shiur gimel grisim v'od. And she finds on her garment a large stain, the size of 3+ grisin. Misafkinon lehu, the doubt arises. Duma kol chada v'chada, maybe each kesem, each gris and mashehu that contributed to this large stain, each one appeared on a separate day. That's kol chada v'chada v'chad yoma chazio. The each gris plus was on its own day. And there are three consecutive days. Afagav de b'mokun echod nimtzu. Even though they're found in one spot, since the size of it is 3 grisin plus, it could be that the one large stain is a function of 3 separate days of staining that just joined together to form the large stain. So this, according to Rebbe Meir, the Tanakama of our Mishnah, creates the chashash, the suspicion that maybe she's a zava. The Gemara, man chachomim, who are the chachomim that says that regarding stains, a woman does not become a zava. Zava, the case we just described of a 3 gris plus stain after 3 days into her ziva days would not make her into a zava. So who is that? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Chanino ben Antignus he. It is his opinion, this Sanya, and we have a Tanaic source featuring Rabbi Chanino ben Antignus. The Sanya of Chanino ben Antignus Oimer, Ksomim ein bohem mishum zoiv. Stains do not result in a woman becoming a zava. Upaomim, there are times, shak somim avim li de ziva, that stains could bring the woman to be considered a zava, ketzan. An example, lavsha gimel chalukais, a woman who wore 3 separate garments. A chaluk is a garment, habaduko slaw, that she knew were clean, umotso aleim kesem, and when she removed the garment, she noticed a stain on them. Now, the 3 garments she wore each, we'll say freshly washed garment on one garment on each day. So you have 3 garments reflects 3 separate consecutive days. Oi, another possibility. Shirasa Shnei Yomim, she had 2 days of actual blood flow from her body. The Choluk Echod, and on the 3rd day she wore a freshly washed garment, and then when taking it off she noticed a stain on it. Hein Hein Aksomim Avim Lidei Ziva. These are the examples of Aksomim that do bring her to the suspicion of being a Zava. The Gemara asks, why do I need these 2 examples?
you could have taught one of these two examples, and the other would have been more, even more obvious. Hashto shloisha chalukos delav migufa kachasya chayshinon. Mind you, when you have three stains, or the three days, each one of the 3 days is accounted for by a stain, where there's no actual blood flow from her body, and yet chayshinon, we raise the suspicion that maybe she is a zava. Shnei yomim v'cholagecha mibaya, 2 days of actual body flow of blood, and the third day from a stain. Do I need to be told that we would suspect her being a zava? That's even more obvious. If stains, which there's always the possibility that it came from some outside source, and yet you're willing to say that we're choshish that she's a zava, when 2 of the 3 days were as a result of body flow, blood, which is the main way, the main mechanism of making a woman into a zava, so if you have 2 of the 3 days were body flow and 1 day is a stain, all the more so we would be suspicious. So what do I have to spell out that second case once you tell me the first case? The more answers. Without spelling out this teaching as we did in the source, I would have thought kol ki hai gavno, any case like the Bay's case where there's 2 from her body and 1 from the stain, mevio korban v'nechal, she would bring a sacrifice and it would even be eaten. In other words, that would be a sign of sure zava status. Kamash Malon, in this source, by teaching it together with the case of the 3 days of stainings, Kamash Malon, that it's only a chashash, it's only a matter of doubt, and as a result she brings a sacrifice, but it cannot be eaten because of the possibility that maybe she isn't really a zava. 2 days of blood sightings don't make her into a zava, as we said in our introductory remarks, and that third day was only a stain, and with regard to a stain there still is the doubt that maybe it came from some other source other than her body flow. Therefore it was necessary to spell out that second case as well, to make sure that we see it only as a doubt and not as a real zava bringing the korban and having it be eaten. Omar Rava, v'ha zachinu Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus l'rabonan. It's in this that the Rabbi Chanina, who was not so suspicious, he defeated the rabonan in argument. The rabonan being more choshesh, as the Gemara will explain. My shno pochos mishlosh grisin b'mokum echod d'lo chayshinon. What is different about less than 3 gris in one spot that you're not choshesh? D'amrinon, because we say betrei yoimi chazisei, that this stain was a function of 2 days of flow. Well, shloisha grisim b'mokam echod, nami neimo, even if you have 3 grisim in one spot, you should still say, tarti upalgo migufa chazise, 2.5 came from her body, the idoch and the other half gris, agav zuhamo dama chulisu, because of the filth of the body blood that was there, it attracted a macholus, a bug, and it's from a bug. So that you don't have even if you have the 3 gris in one spot that you, the Rabbanan, want to say that that makes her suspected as being a zava, why do you say that? It could be that 2.5 of the gris came from her, and only 0.5 gris is from the bug. V'rabbonan, the Rabbonan respond and say, Kevon ti'iko leflugi begris vi'o l'chol yomo, lo talinon, since we have a stain of 3 gris plus in one spot, and it could be divided as a gris plus per day. So we're not going to toile it, we're not going to ascribe it to the more lenient situation.
The Gemara now proceeds to ask a question on Rava, primarily on that which was implied through Rava's presentation. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, according to the way Rava presented him, Gimel Grisa b'mokom echad hu deloi chayshinon, is it so that Rabbi Chanina expresses a leniency when it comes to the three gris plus in one spot that were not to be choshesh, as we explained just a few lines ago, because you could take that three gris plus and say 2.5 gris flowed from her body over 2 days, let's say, and the other half gris, which would represent the third day, that didn't come from her, that came from a squished bug. So you could though imply or infer from Rava's presentation that when is Rabbi Chanina lenient? When it's three gris size stain in one place. Ha begimel mekayma is chayshinon. But if you would have three gris, single gris size stains, three, let's say, gris va'od stains on one garment, but in three different places, then Rabbi Chanina would suspect her as a zava. Ah, but ha amris. But was it not said, and you'll notice we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the moral text, you align this with the star just above, and you see, was it not said earlier, Begimel Chalukos in, that only if it's on three separate garments, then we are Choshesh. B'shalosh Mekoymos Lo, but in three spots on one garment, we are not to suspect. Yet the way Rava presents things, the only time we're not going to suspect, according to Rabbi Chanina, is if the three gris are in one spot, but three grisin in three separate spots on one garment, he would suspect. But that doesn't conform to what Rabbi Chanina said earlier, that only if it's on three separate garments would we start suspecting. The Gemara answers, L'divrayim d'rabbonon kamar lahu. What we saw above was Rabbi Chanina addressing the Rabbonon on their terms as follows. L'didi begimel chalukas in b'sholosh mekomos lo. As far as I'm concerned, only if it's three separate garments would I start to suspect. If it's three separate spots on one garment, I personally do not suspect. But according to you, who are like into suspicion, into suspecting her as a zava, odu li mihas, you should at least concede to me, dehecho dechazoi shosh grisim b'mokom echad, that where the three gris appear in one spot, the amrinon, that here at least you should concede to my point of leniency, tre upalgo miguvo chazise, that 2.5 came from her. The idoch and the other half gris, agav zuamo da machoilesu, that other half which would have represented, we'll say, the third day, that's only, it's a half a gris that came from a squished bug. So that, at least concede a point of leniency regarding that case. Virabonon, their response is, Kevon deiko leflugi begris viod lechol yomo, since the three gris viod in one spot could be divided into a gris viod per day, lo talinon, we're not going to ascribe it to the lenient situation that you suggested. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.